Now, a month ago, I spoke with our gardener, Jean Griffin, about the Chelsea Flower Show. She was just about to go and depart for all things London and horticultural. She's back here with us now. Morning, Jean.
Good morning, Tony. How are you? Are you coping with this weather?
It's a tad warm for me. It really is a tad warm. Last week was just excruciating in places, but fortunately for me, I was on a boat somewhere else on water with all that heat. So it was
excellent.
It was reasonably okay, but it was a shock to get off the boat, I can tell you, because everything stopped and you just started to sweat profusely.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you're better off than my daughter, who has now gone on holiday to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 40 degrees down there.
Oh, it's a bit too warm, isn't it, really?
Far too much, far too much. So I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, it's a little nicer this week. Anyway, it was typical spring weather, I think. Spring, early summer weather when you hit the Chelsea Flower Show. What's to report?
Absolutely fabulous. It really was. It was a lovely day. Not too hot, not too cold.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because we managed there to go on a Sunday, all you'll have to avoid is the, the cameras, the people walking around, people still putting up their stands. And there were forklifts going on, and you're just about to, record something, and beep. Mind your back, all this sort of thing. And we did the first 2 hours walking around because we're on a four-hour program.
Yeah.
And we did the first 2 hours wandering around chatting to people. And one of the things that we did talk to was the garden that I felt actually missed out totally. It got a silver gilt medal, and it was the perennial garden. Now, perennial is what used to be called the Gardeners Royal Benevolent Society, and it's now called perennial. And it's a charity that actually the only gardening charity actually that is applicable to anybody that works in horticulture.
Oh.
So and it's based in. Leatherhead.
Yeah,
it is Leatherhead. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Just up the road.
The garden was absolutely superb. I can't tell you. It was really magic. We interviewed the designer, Richard, and he was a little peeved, I think, that he didn't get anything better. But the one that won was an interesting garden. Not that I didn't like it. It wasn't. But it seemed to me more of a political decision by the judges.
Oh, we don't like those, do we?
No, we don't, because it was all about rewilding.
Now, of course.
You see, the difference, Tony, between a rewilding garden, it was beautiful. I cannot tell you. It was really lovely. It was like a sort of a hut on a hillside with trees and a little stream trickling through. But how many people could actually replicate that in their own garden?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I know when you talk rewilding, it's quite a thing these days. Councils use it as an excuse not to cut the grass. The grass outside my house right now is nearly a foot long. They cut the grass literally twice a year. And I think they use the excuse, to cover up the lack of funds. They call it rewilding. I was going to ask you, actually, because it's one of those things. I mean, the Chelsea Flower Show does rather set trends and that.
Yes.
And it's like all things, if you talk food, there are fads for the modern day that never used to be around, and there's the more traditional. Likewise in building and in putting together homes and decorating.
Absolutely.
And that. There are fads that suit the time. Are there similar things in the way of fads going on in the world of gardening?
Oh, absolutely. You get plants which come in and everybody wants them. Then the plants go out. I mean, it's the same, isn't it? Do you remember the conifer hedging?
Sort of. Yes.
Yeah. That went out. Then in the sort of 70s, early 70s, it was all eucalyptus.
Yeah.
And trends. You do get trends.
Yeah, you see, because when I was a kid, it was all lupins, you see.
Absolutely. Now, it's funny, actually, because someone sent me a photograph today of New Zealand with the lupins down at Lake Tekapo.
All right.
But It's beautiful, Tony. I cannot tell you how beautiful it is with these lupins, which are taller than me. I mean, only 5 foot two, but these lupins are taller than me. And they're right by Lake Tekapo. All the right. snag is, because they are an alien plant for New Zealand, they've started to take over. And so, you know, and that's what happens, you see, after a while. The thing with the perennial garden, just to go back to that for a minute, is that you could quite easily look at the planting in there, which was very soft pastel whites and pinks and mauves, and you could take part of that and replicate it in your own garden. And that's what I like.
Yeah, that, I mean, the thing I meant to, by asking you about the faddish thing is that, I mean, really in gardening, like in most other areas, there's nothing that's actually new. It's just revisited and rejigged and that. And I'm guessing that's what's happened this year at Chelsea, where when you talk about the rewilding and when you talk about all the colours and that, because next year it'll be a different set of colours, won't it?
Oh, it will be, totally. The interesting one, that another garden that was there, was the one from Bomber Command.
Oh, yeah.
And that was startling, is the way that I could describe it. They had a figure of a pilot, huge. I mean, it must have been 15, 20 foot tall. And he was looking to the sky with his hand over his eyes. And it was quite poignant, really. And the whole garden now went from light colours around a semicircle and back into the dark colours, which, of course, went from the early spring and how everybody was going then through into the war and then at the end. And that garden is going to be reconstructed at Biggin Hill.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
So, yeah. And the other things, a lot of people now are actually reconstructing their gardens in hospice gardens, for instance, which, of course, is fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, all that sort of thing is terrific because it invariably involves sort of the memory of someone else.
Exactly, exactly. So it was interesting. My producer up at Kent is very keen on outside gardens. I'm not, you see. I want to go into the big marquee. That's my place.
Ah. So what was the highlight for you then? What was the highlight for you?
Yes. For me?
All the usual ones, really, to be quite honest. I cannot tell you, the Blackmore and Langdon stand of delphiniums and begonias. They were absolutely fabulous. And you have to admire how they get them all out at one go, you know, at really the wrong time, because delphiniums come out a little bit later. So anybody who actually does do that for Chelsea is just phenomenal in my book. So, yeah, it's been good.
Some very clever stuff going on.
Absolutely.
There. Yeah. Anything startlingly new? I know I said that you know, most of this stuff is sort of old stuff, rejigged and rehashed. But was there any genuinely new things there at all?
Not that I saw particularly. Yes, there were new things. Because we're all into non-peat compost now, of course, everything like that, there were some companies there. And one of the people that we interviewed, which was quite interesting actually, was on robot lawn mowers.
I was going to ask you about not necessarily the lawnmowers, but about technology at the show, because that is the one thing that is new, and technology is being applied to all sorts of things these days.
It is.
And I'm guessing that the robot lawnmower is one of the ways that technology is being applied to gardening.
Absolutely. I mean, they're funny little things, actually.
What do you do? You sit on the side and literally drive it remotely, do you?
You don't even have to sit on the side. You program it.
Yeah.
right? And you, it has a little sort of hub at the side. These are the smaller for amateur gardeners, of course. There are bigger ones, but I was just fascinated by this one. And it's a little round thing, a bit like a sort of a pull-along Hoover, really,
oh,
that
right.
sort of thing, right? And so you program it, and it'll and it just takes itself off. And then it goes all the way round and up and down and round and about. And then all of a sudden, when the battery runs out, it takes itself home and plugs itself back in.
No, really?
It does. Seriously. And I know someone who's got one, so I've seen it in action.
And I bet, like me, you know, when you were much younger, you'd never have thought that, that something would actually plug itself in. That's a mind of its own. That's truly
exactly.
astounding.
You'd never think it, would you? You'd never dream it up. So, yeah, so other than that, you know, life goes on, I think, no matter what. Of course, they're all gearing up now for Hampton Court.
Yeah.
So with our plants that we've had, I don't know whether you know this, but there are two things to pruning herbaceous plants. Yeah. Do you know this?
No, I'm sure you can tell
me. The Chelsea Chop.
Oh, right.
And the Hampton Hack.
Oh, right.
So after Chelsea, you do a cutback.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that the plants flower again for you. And you do the same again round about Hampton Court time, which is July.
Yeah.
And then you're encouraging that plant to reflower for you. So,
very clever.
Chelsea Chop, Hampton Hack.
I'm going to remember that, I am. We're going to leave the Chelsea Flower Show there because we're thinking that maybe those lawnmowers are going to be coming to a garden store near you very soon. the hot weather, we mentioned the hot weather briefly.
Yeah.
And it's good for some fruit growing, I know that. But for many people, I mean, the sort of weather we had at the end of last week and the lack of rainfall and the severe heat gets lots of people worried about the fact, will the plants survive the heat?
Yeah, but the whole thing, though, Tony, is that your plants grow best when you've really, really prepared the ground for them. And so it's all about sustainability in your soil, and it's all about preparation, as much sort of organic stuff that you can put on, because that in actual fact absorbs the moisture and you don't have to water as much. If you're watering, take the blooming sprinkler off the end of your watering can and direct the water immediately down to the ground where that plant is growing. Because if you think about it, it stands to reason. If you're sprinkling something, the water then evaporates very, very quickly.
Mm.
Whereas if you're directing the water to where the plant needs it, which is on the ground, then you're quids in, really, aren't you? Mm. And you're not wasting water.
Yeah, as you explained on an earlier conversation, you're talking about watering. And, of course, it's the roots that need the water, isn't it? So it strengthens
Absolutely.
The roots. They get fed. And to me, it always seemed the thing to do was to stand there with the watering can and water the tops of the plants and the leaves. And of course, when you actually think about it sensibly, it's not the way to do it at all. The water will, as you said, evaporate. So
Absolutely.
stick it in the ground and let the roots grow and find the water.
Yeah.
Which is
so,
a good thing.
So that's our sort of tip for hot weather, really.
Yeah.
And as much water that you can collect, in water butts and everything else, then, you know, is far better than actually using your ordinary, house water. You don't have to pay so much on your water bill, then.
It's
you?
proper natural stuff, as they say.
Exactly.
One of the things you've been growing, strawberries, I mean, we've been growing pine berries, which are look like strawberries but taste like pineapples. Completely weird thing that Mrs. W's been sort of taking great pride in those. Tasted one the other day and very strange indeed, actually. But you say yours is more conventional strawberries, but you've been doing them in a different way, haven't you?
Yes and no. It was the old-fashioned traditional way where, do you know how, when you see potatoes mounded up in the ground?
Yeah.
Right? So they're on a mound, basically. And so I mound the ground up and plant the strawberries on the top, which is the old-fashioned way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an old-fashioned girl, you see. So that's what I like to do. But why I do that is because I'm not a great believer in putting all this straw around them, because that again is an old traditional method. But what I find is that if we get a wet summer, the straw gets mucky and wet and horrible, and the fruit lays on top of it and rots away much quicker. Whereas with mine, the long fruiting stems, they hang in the air, more or less, over the top of the mound. I've been picking a pound and a half.
Oh, wow.
Every day.
Have you?
So, yeah, honestly. I mean, the yesterday was £2. That's why I'm making strawberry jam tonight. But it is very interesting, actually. I have made a mistake. Do you want me to confess?
Come on.
Well, I did a new strawberry bed last year. Yeah. And I did it in a semi-raised bed, not very big. And I've now found out what I've done wrong. Go I've on. Made it too wide.
All right.
So I can't reach into the middle of it. So I've got one, I'm on my knee, and I've got one hand in the middle of the bed and the other picking the blooming strawberries. So I'm going to have to sort of cut it in half, actually.
Don't worry. There'll be some technology that will deal with that one day soon, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, I hope it's a robot picking, perhaps.
Okay, so it's strawberry picking time. I'd be very interested to know if anybody else has had as much success as you at growing your strawberries this year. Mm. And how much are you charging for a punnet? Don't bother answering that one right now.
No. It all goes for my neighbours, and because I've got such lovely neighbours, and they're really, really helpful. So they usually get the ones that I can't use. So that's really good.
That's good. And before you go, because we time passes by ever so quickly, the Lee Flower Show. I know you wanted to talk a little bit of the Lie Flower
Show. Lie,
I get
yes.
that name wrong all the time.
I know, but it looks like Lee, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? It's Lie.
Yeah. Particularly as I have a friend called Lee, and she spells it that way as well. Lie Flower Show, which of course is in Surrey. It's a lovely venue. We're on the cricket ground, and it's one of the oldest things that we've got. We call it the Lie Flower Show and Country Fair. And in actual fact, a mate of yours is going to be doing
You've dragged Mr. Mundy out, haven't you?
We have.
Yeah, I thought so. Yes.
I hope he'll enjoy it.
He will.
The problem that we've got, Tony, is that we haven't got enough people to help us to run the tombola, just to sort of help, really.
All right.
We need as many volunteers as we can possibly get. All of us are aging now. That is the trouble. We need a couple of new people.
Right. Okay, put the appeal out. How does anybody get in touch to actually get involved?
Well, they can go to, on the internet, it's fine. There is a website.
What's the website?
And it's Lie and District Cottage Garden Society.
Is that and as a word, is it?
Yep.
Lie and District.
Lie and District Cottage Garden Society.
Cottage Garden Society. What's that? .co.uk?
Yes, just .co.uk. And we also have a Facebook site, which again is Lie Cottage Garden Society.
So anybody interested, go to the website. It's it's the Lie and District Cottage Garden Society. I missed the garden app. I mean, that's a long old...
It is. It's too long. So we're trying to cut it down to say Lie Gardening Society. But anyway... Lie Cottage Garden Society will find us.
Yeah, okay. In other words, search it out on Google and then sort of find the details and get in touch. And when is it? It's the 23rd of July, isn't
23rd
it?
23rd of July. That's
okay.
Right.
Now, if you want to get some handy tips on gardening and if you've got some spare time on the 23rd, then search out the Lion District Cottage Garden Society and see what you can do to help. Jean, it's been wonderful as always to catch up.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that. I'm glad you enjoyed the Chelsea Flower Show.
Thanks very much.
I'm sure you're going to enjoy the strawberries as well. I will speak to you before the live show, so we'll catch up on that one in about 4 weeks' time. But for now, Jean Griffin, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Tony.